Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about a subject matter that just about everybody that I'm aware of is always going to have a comment on one way or another. And what is that? Weight loss. Have you had a challenge with it? Well, my guest today is an interesting man. Lee Waller is a man that has had quite a fascinating background. But more than that, he decided to take on a task of sharing with people researched information and how we can have, as his book title says, sustainable weight loss so that we can have a healthy body weight, feel good about ourselves, and have a healthy life as well. Lee Waller, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
I had to chuckle when I was listening to you before we went on the air. I had to chuckle to myself because you're a man that's walked a very unusual path. You have a bachelor's in mechanical engineering, and you were associated with the General Motors Institute. You've been involved with personal administration. You've had business management training. You're a Juris Doctor. You went to a law school. You have been a certified lifestyle and weight management coach, and you're associated with the American Council on Exercise. You're a certified personal trainer. You're a doctor of naturopathy. You must never get bored with life. I mean, my goodness, how many people are going to be able to say they have that eclectic a background?
Well, I just, the ideas hang in there and just keep doing things, and, and that's what I've done.
Why is it that naturopathy appealed to you?
Well, I've done natural health and natural health practices for 15 or 20 years, and it was one of those things that was just a natural adjunct. The world is headed in that direction in a lot of ways. That is not to diminish or take anything away from the Western medicine practice. It has a fabulous place in our life. And beyond that, natural methods are also just have a place as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You bring up right at the beginning of your book something that, my goodness, there's hardly a day that goes by where it's not mentioned on one program or another and in one way or another. It's the concern about obesity. And there's a lot of things that can contribute to that. And obesity, well, it's really increased. You can pretty much sit anywhere and watch people walk through a mall, and in our world that has an abundance of all kinds of things that were not available to previous generations, there has been this massiveness of size that has evolved. So people are claiming that it's an epidemic and that it's something that really needs to be worked with. And I would like to know why this was important for you to write about. I mean, after all, there are so many people talking about this. Why did you decide to take it on?
Well, it's like you said, I've looked around and I've seen the problem everywhere I go as well. And I just thought people are struggling with this particular problem and they need help that's real help, not superficial help, not the one-trick pony where we, you know, diet is everything and that's the answer to everything, or exercise is the answer. Those are component parts, but those are only some of the parts. They're important parts, maybe the most important, but not one or the other standalone will solve the problem. We have a very sedentary lifestyle these days, so exercise does become important. We have a lot of people suffering different psychological upsets, divorces, difficult job situations, upsetting or dysfunctional relationships. Those contribute dramatically to us gaining weight. One that's not talked about much is many people suffer from a hormone imbalance, especially as we get a little bit older. Once you hit that 50, 55, 60 age group, the hormones tend to get out of whack, and those hormones can absolutely upset the weight management system and cause us to gain weight.
That has been found by many people, and there's always the fascinating aspect. I had a client once that said she'd gained so much weight. Of course, her total work habit had changed. She was consuming more donuts than she ever had in her life, but her thyroid was wacky, just absolutely wacky. You make a statement in your book, there are certain biological and physiological limitations on what it takes for each of us to lose weight and to maintain a reasonable body weight. Not everyone who eats the same and exercises the same weighs the same. Why is it that there are these box-like attitudes? Because it's true. Every one of us has our own unique physiological blueprint, and what works for one doesn't work for someone else.
Well, there are a number of factors. Way back when, a psychologist came up with a psychologist named Shelton came up with three different body types, and they've been poo-pooed in some circles, but they still stand: the ectomorphic, the mesomorphic, and the endomorphic. One is the ectomorphic is an easy, or is a person that has very difficult time gaining weight, if you will, and gaining muscularity. They tend to be thin. The mesomorphic is the body type that gains weight easily, but it's athletic. It's that athletic look. It's the muscular look. It's the trim, ripped look. And then there's the endomorphic body type that is the person that tends to gain weight and hold weight and has great difficulty losing weight. First thing that's important is we each need to look at what is our tendency? What is our path? What does our genetic package look like? Do we gain weight easily and keep it on easily, or do we tend to be thin and we gain it only if we get kind of crazy? Once we've discovered that, we've got a starting point. Excuse me. Then we can go on and look at diet and exercise and hormones and psychological difficulties and all those things. But we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to look in the mirror and say, okay, I come from a background that is one or the other. And which is it, and what am I going to look like? We are definitely not going to all look like the models we see on TV and in the magazines. So we have to look at what we got and what we can do to be the best we can be.
I agree, and I think that there is so much misconception about what is healthy. I think what drives me bonkers many times are a lot of these insurance charts that they go out and they say, this is what you're supposed to be. And many times those charts do not account for variables within the physique of someone. And I'm just really amazed at how we are often afraid to challenge that. And obesity is something that dependent on your culture. You look at history, the women that were in the Polynesian islands, weight was considered to be a wonderful thing to have, even though you probably couldn't move very much anyway. Once you reached a certain point, you were just sort of a blob sitting around. But in many cultures, Polynesian cultures, Samoan cultures, which are related to the Polynesians, I mean, you have all of these components. You have different areas in the world that said, gee, if we have people that are fat, that's good. That means you're wealthy. That means that you can afford to have food because starvation was so rampant among many different cultures. So that was a symbol of wealth, and it was a symbol of prosperity. And there was that attitude that that's what you wanted to have in your cultural environment. Well, doesn't look so hot in our culture today, and it's presented so many problems health-wise.
Well, that's true. It's funny that you zeroed in on the measurements that we look at sometimes, the comparisons. One that I really believe strongly in debunking, and if you look at the research in the book, my book is based on about 1,100, 1,200 research papers and articles and books. The scientists all are infatuated with body mass index. They talk about body mass index, BMI. It's the biggest thing going, but in reality, it's a farce. I'm a lean, trim, 5'10", 180 pounds, and I'll tell you what, I'm overweight by the charts. I've got a son that's my height and is very athletic build. He's worked out hard. He's quite a bit bigger than I am. He's 20 pounds heavier than I am or 25 pounds heavier. Mm-hmm. He's actually considered obese, and he's got less body fat than I've got. So the key is we can't get too crazed with some of that kind of stuff. I think percent body fat is a much better measurement than BMI. But body mass index is touted as the thing, and if people read a lot of that, they start to believe it, and it mm-hmm. isn't even reality.
Well, and also, too, they found years ago, and I don't know what they do today, but they found many times when they could have, for example, two women, same height and same bone structure, basically, and one was considered to be heavier than the other, and when they weighed them, their weight was the same, and what they found was that the muscle mass in one was so much heavier than the muscle mass in the other, and they said to their amazement, they discovered they had to weigh them in water to be able to determine. I think that's what they did. They did it with water so they could get the actual percentage of the muscle, the two muscle ratio to the fat.
Mm-hmm. The dunk tank has been the gold standard up until recently, and now there are MRI kind of techniques that are something on the MRI order. It's not the MRI necessarily, but measures percent body fat even more accurately. But none of us need to be that accurate. It's not that important. Mm-hmm. We need to look in the mirror. We can tell whether we got a high percent of body fat or not.
I agree. Now, you bring up some points on food. And I liked what you said. When people are on a low-calorie diet, like 800 calories a day, it's really not that good a thing. I was talking with someone just yesterday that was making a comment about an individual saying that this was a male, that this person had basically gone on a very stringent food program, and they'd passed out. They just passed out. And that is something we don't realize. Our bodies have to have fuel. What would you say to someone if they were saying, well, gee whiz, if I go on a quote-unquote diet, and it's, you know, I can think of some plans that have really been hot and fabulous in the past few years that really can be detrimental to the health system. What would you recommend to someone? What is it that if we're wanting to make a change in our body, if we're really wanting to do something for ourselves, isn't it developing a way of eating that is going to be comfortable for us to live with, rather than trying to try any extremes?
Sure. I use what I call the rule of thirds. It's explained in the book very clearly. The rule of thirds is simply this. I don't want to count calories. I don't want to count grams of fat. I don't want to count carbohydrates. It's craziness. People are not going to do it. I don't want to sit down at a meal and have a little calculator and have to calculate what I'm about to eat. Not going to happen. So there's a much simpler way. Look at your plate. My rule of thirds is if a third of it, you can eat a third of it, could be potatoes, pasta, a little bit of meat, whatever you want to eat, two-thirds vegetables. If you eat all of that and you're still hungry, do it again. If you eat that kind of diet, you're going to be able to maintain your weight, and you're going to be able to lose weight if you're overweight. The key is high vegetable, high fruit. It's not necessarily recommended that we eat fruit with our meals because it digests at a different rate. But fruit between meals or before bed, perhaps, a little bit of fruit before bed. But high vegetable, two-thirds of the plate vegetables, a third whatever else, within reason. I mean, the other third can't be ice cream or pie every meal. But a third can be a variety of foods other than vegetables. That simple. If you start to talk about the very low-cal diet, 800 to 1,200 calories, or a low-cal diet, 1,200 to whatever it is, 1,800, it's craziness. It's starvation diet. You put your body in a starvation mode, it's as if you were on an island starving to death. The nutrition is more important, the right nutrition, the balance, and I keep going back to balance. It's what you eat. It's the nutrition-dense foods like vegetables, for example, like fruits. Not like potato chips, not like cookies, not like pie, not like candy. A little bit of that's fine. I don't say there's anything off the chart that you can't eat, but it's all about balance, and it's about being careful enough not to eat those foods that really ought to be minimized, And those are foods with excess sugar, excess fat, excess carbs. I really hate to hear the conversation about let's go on a low-cal diet or a low-fat or a low-carb diet. I hate that because that says let's go on an unbalanced diet, for one. It should be balanced.
I agree. One of the points, one of the many points, and again, your book has quite a bit of research information. You talk about soy. And what I have come across with soy, and I know it's in so many food products today, and I'm a believer as much as you can eat that's natural is important. The old adage, if it's closer to the form that it comes from the earth or however, the better off we are because it's going to have no more nutrition in it. But this is something that has really, really been pushed quite a bit. And the research that's come out, and you mention it in your book, is that men should be very cautious about this. And my awareness has been that soy as a food supplement, even tofu, has been not something, even in the Asian culture, that's a primary source of food for them. It's always been something that's been fermented or complementary as a aspect of a meal. It's not been like a main course. This is something that we as Americans have adopted, and it's pretty detrimental to males if they ingest a large amount of this, and actually with females. They're finding that it contributes to some major thyroid problems in females. Address this.
Well, the soy as a food is an estrogen producer. It's great for women to an extent because you have a lot of estrogen in your bodies, and a little bit more, it generally won't hurt unless you've got an excess, of course. But for guys, it can be a problem. If you get crazed with a lot of soy in your diet, you'll have a lot more estrogen in your system than you want. And it's detrimental. It's a hormone that we don't want a whole lot of it in our bodies. We're not trying to turn into women.
And especially with babies, I've been surprised how many people are thinking they should give it to babies. And it shouldn't be given to babies. Very
mother's breast milk is the best thing you can give a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
absolutely
can beat it.
True.
Cow's
absolutely
milk won't
true.
Match it. Goat's milk won't match it. Soy won't match it. The manufactured products won't match it. Nothing matches it.
Very, very true. Let's talk about cooking fats. I don't know about anybody in my audience, but I love fried chicken. It's not something I have as a regular part of my diet, but, oh, man, it's just something I thoroughly enjoy periodically, and I'm not giving that up for anybody. But let's talk about foods that can be fried, and people can enjoy them, and butter is one of my favorite things. But and in the Asian culture, there's been they do a lot of stir-frying and use fats, but they don't do it to the degree that the American style typically is. But you have some fats that you recommend that are very healthy, which I agree with. What is it that you would want to share with my audience when it comes to using fats?
Well, one of the things with the limited list that I gave you, I got that from reading a couple of fabulous books on fats and oils. I'm not the guru on fats and oils, but here's the long and short of it. The heating process during cooking damages oils. It makes them into modified oils, which are difficult for your body to recognize, just like the deep fryer at the fast food places. When they're cooking their french fries at 400 degrees, that oil is degraded and changed into something your body doesn't even understand what it is. Now, the better ones to use are those that degrade the least, and then, of course, keep the heat as low as possible. But the ones that degrade the least are butters. Butter's the best, among the best. Olive oil is fairly good. Of course, olive oil heated up above, 110 or 15 degrees starts to degrade. But it's the oxygen exposure, because those oils degrade in oxygen and light degrades them. So if you look at some of the oils, the better oils that you buy on the market, they're in a dark bottle. They're in a refrigerated case. They're also in the dark bottle is in a cardboard container so that they don't get light, they don't get air. They have to be protected because they do degrade. And when they get in the body, if they're rancid, they're absolute health destroyers. So fats and oils eaten like olive oil eaten at room temperature, is wonderful. In fact, it helps cleanse, it helps to clean out the veins.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea that it, what I, this is another thing that I dislike hearing, is you should eat more, less fat. Less, you're overweight, less fat in your diet. The doctors tend to do this. Cut the fat in your diet and get some exercise. And that's where it ends. Wow, mm-hmm. that's craziness. Wait a minute, you don't even know what fat's in my diet. If you don't know what fat's in my diet, you can't prescribe that I should eat some other fat content or that I should just lower my fat because maybe the only fat I get is good essential fats.
Well, so, and fat especially is very important with women. It is extremely important in their hormonal balance. So when you have the good fats in your diet, the olive oils, coconut oil, butter, the real stuff, not the synthetic stuff, but the real good oils, it enables a woman to have healthier skin. Her internal organs function much better, and it's the same with men. The body utilizes fat, and one of the things that I learned, and this is extremely interesting to me, is that when you take all the fat out of the diet, your desire for sugar goes sky high. There are so many people that are eating packaged foods that they say, oh, no fat, or very, very low fat, or something like this. And what happens is when you take the fat out, your food consumption desire for certain foods goes up. It goes out of balance. When you have a good amount of fat in the diet for your body, I'm not saying a pound of butter a day, but if you have fat in your diet, your appetite actually is going to be diminished because the body needs it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's absolutely right. Again, it's back to what I mentioned earlier. It's back to balance. This
mm-hmm.
whole idea that when you, my, it's pretty simple. When you take something out of the diet, something else has to fill in. So you're out of balance again. It's either sugar or it's high carbs or it's something that's dumped back in there.
It's just, yeah, something has to fill the void. It's
yep.
really, really fascinating. Health. This, anybody that is extremely overweight, I mean, that's what obesity is saying. When you see people, and it breaks my heart when I see them, because men or women that are 75, 100 pounds overweight, they're barely able to walk. It's very difficult for them to function. If they want to travel, let's say fly, it's embarrassing for them. You watch them, it's very sad because you will see them and you know they've got major health problems and you know that their self-image is miserable because they are too heavy. They cannot do things. If we have anyone like that listening that's saying, oh my Lord, I'm thinking of bariatric surgery because I just have been battling with this all my life, I have such compassion for these people because I know that they are not happy with their bodies. What would you want to say to them? What would you want them to be aware of?
Well, you mentioned bariatric surgery, and there are times where it might be a life-saving technique, so I don't want to say it's not good. But generally, here's what it is. When you reduce the size of the stomach, it's planned starvation. If that's what it takes to lose the weight and you're going to kill yourself because of the massive amount of weight you're carrying if you're a person that you're talking about, then perhaps it's a consideration. But otherwise, I would try to do the complete package. I try to find out first psychologically what is driving this, what is allowing this to happen. There is something going on back there that needs to be addressed. Once that you get that underway, then you can start to fool around with your diet. And once you start to get the weight down a little and can exercise, exercise is a vital part. So then those three components are good. It still may be that the hormones are out of balance. You know, we may be a little older and our growth hormone might be dropping, or our testosterone level if we're men, or our estrogen level with women. All three of those, when they start to drop, weight starts to come on. So that's a consideration. Our stress level is a consideration. If at the same time that we got all these situations that we just talked about and we're living an extremely stressful life, stress increases cortisol. Stress alters our eating habits. A lot of things bad happen from increased stress. So that's an issue to work on. So there are a lot of things to work on. Again, if a person is under a doctor's care and their life is threatened because of their weight, perhaps bariatric surgery is a technique to help us. But the other thing about bariatric surgery is it's a short-term fix. If you don't change your lifestyle, your stomach will enlarge again and stretch over time. If you don't change your lifestyle and your eating habits and what have you, you're going to go back to gaining weight again. So it's just one of those issues that needs to be looked at and looked at with, you know, from all angles.
Well, I will tell you, I have known people that have had the bariatric surgeries and the stomach band. That's the one I was thinking of. And I've known people that have gone through both of those. And it's been very interesting because I can think of one person, and this person was exceedingly obese. They were almost 400 pounds. And so they have pretty much trimmed down. They lost about 200 pounds, but they still look, and instead of looking huge, they are half of the size that they were, but they really didn't. They've altered their eating habits, but it's like their body plateaued, and they did not go it. I know of someone else that was excessively overweight that went through that kind of surgery and ended up going to the extreme, eating so little, they ended up developing hypoglycemia and other conditions, and they then had to recognize they had to eat. They had to eat to be able to stay healthy, and so they managed to stabilize. But the person that went through the stomach band surgery ended up having some complications physically almost from the beginning, and they finally adapted to it. But they made a comment that I thought was a very interesting comment. They said if their stomach had not been made smaller with that stomach band, they still had the desire to eat just as much food as they had before. It had not gone away. The desire still was there. So it was a challenge for them. But they were able to finally get themselves under control because they were close to 300 pounds. And this was a gentleman that when he went through it, he lost weight really fast, but it was because he got very, very sick. So your points are very, very good. And your book, Sustainable Weight Loss, is loaded with, at the end of each chapter, references for people to go through and how to build a support system. You give information on drugs. You talk about all kinds of pros and cons. And again, your research was pretty intense. And then you have a plan in the back of the book. And I like what you said about the plate. Look at what you have on your plate. What is there? What is the major portion? And you have a number of things in the back of your book that people can follow through with, and different recommendations. Now, your website is sustainableweightloss.net. What are they going to find when they go to that website?
Well, they're going to find information, a little bit more information about me or some of the same information you gave. They're going to find the book, can buy the book on the website. They're going to find also there's a companion workbook, which is the last chapter that you just described, the how-to chapter, expanded into a nice spiral-bound book that you can lay flat and write in, and a lot of lines to write and journal and do what you need to do, but it's a step-by-step how to get from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
The person, the individual, fills in the blanks. How about this? How about that? Consider this. What are you going to do here? You're going to do, you know, and it just walks you through the steps. Nothing complicated, straightforward. The website's got information on it. It's got some of the events I've been involved in, and if perhaps some of the things that are coming up, and there's a place on the website to enter email address if people want periodic updates, communications, and so on. So there's a lot of stuff there, but mainly it's a place to find the book.
Sustainable Weight Loss. If you're like so many of us, you're always challenged because looking good is important professionally and personally. You want to look good. You want to feel good. You want to be able to enjoy a quality of life. So Lee Waller is a man who believes that you can have exactly that. He gives a lot of good information, good common sense, but also research documented details that you might find very interesting. Sustainable Weight Loss, the definitive guide to maintaining a healthy body weight. Lee Waller, thank you very much for being my guest today. It's been a delight having you, and I wish you the greatest of success with your book.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure to talk with you this afternoon, too.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Check out sustainableweightloss.net. We're coming back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Hey, we've got a new telephone number for the toll-free call-in if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. The telephone number is now 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And for those of you in the state of Washington, tonight I'm going to be doing a laid-back, relaxed class at the Progressive Spiritual Center at 6108 Mount Tacoma Drive Southwest in Lakewood. It's going to start at 6:30. There's a small fee of $10 at the door, and I'm going to be interacting with you. We're going to be talking about mental ecology, and we'll be talking about and demonstrating, interacting with demonstrations as to mind skills, and you as and a person in the class will have a chance to find out about your own intuitive capacities. So, again, that is this evening at 6:30 at the Progressive Spiritual Center. You can check it out on my website, DelphiInternational.com, and get some more information. And another event is coming up this weekend with the Ascension Foundation. It's actually this Saturday, and I'm going to be there the full day, and it's going to be daytime as well as evening, so I'll give you some more details on that. Let's talk to our first caller today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi, Donna.
Hi, dear. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Sure, this is Lisa, and I'm calling from California.
Northern or Southern California?
Oh, Southern.
Southern California, okay. All right, dear. Let me get down to business with you. First thing that I am looking at in my mind is a need for you to pay attention to detail. There are some very significant situations where the detail needs to be heeded very, very carefully, because if you don't, you're going to find yourself having to repeat an action and a cost. So I don't know what money involvement this is entailing, but I feel that I am not taking care of the specifics as I need to. So you don't want to have to double or triple pay on something if it's not necessary. So paying attention to the details is very, very important. Also, there is something about ongoing education with you, and I think you just need to accept that that's going to be a part of your life. You love to learn new things, so that's not a bad situation. But again, you want to make sure that whatever you're going to be putting your money into, that it has the value and that you're going to be able to see how that value is going to be coming back to you. So it could be that wherever you choose to get your education from may make a difference, or maybe there is a packaged program that will serve you better than, let's say, taking something over a period of 3 to 4 years. In other words, maybe a particular program at a technical school might be better than at a local college. So it all depends on how you want to do it, but you are going to be putting more money into your educational process, but it's never wasted. Anytime you invest in yourself, it's going to be returning to you in one way or another. Oh, and you got some traveling coming up here. I think this is going to be great. You're going to be counting your pennies, but I think you're going to be quite happy with how you will budget everything out, and it's really going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience. In fact, I'm looking at a number of little mini trips, and when you calculate it out, the mini trips, other than the cost of gasoline, you're pretty well going to be able to meet your budget guidelines and have a lot of fun. So you like doing some fun things like going through odd stores and places and sharing expenses maybe with a friend, but I just think you're going to be very innovative and imaginative, and you really do enjoy traveling and going to different places. So I think that's smart. What's on your mind?
Well, that's great. I'm actually thinking about going to Sedona, so that's
good. Okay, hon, I can't hear you. Your voice just flipped out. Are you on a cell phone?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, your voice is much better now. What was your question to me, or what was your comment? I couldn't hear it.
Oh, I was just saying I was actually planning a trip to Sedona with my girlfriend, and we were thinking about driving there, so maybe that's what you're picking up on.
Well, I think it's going to be a good trip. Just remember, choose your traveling hours, because it's pretty hot so this time of the year.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go, just plan it accordingly, and I think you're going to be able to meet your budget. Both of you sit down, figure it out, and I think you're going to do just a terrific job. You're going to have a good time. And just make sure that, you know, your car is in good shape, that you, you know, all the fluids are checked and this type of thing before you go. I think it'll be great.
Oh, good. Well, my question is totally unrelated to any of those things. It's about a guy
mm-hmm.
that I recently met.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just been kind of playing phone tag a bit, and we were supposed to do something last week, and then he just stopped calling. And so I'm curious as to, A, why, and B, is this going to rejuvenate itself, or should I just let this be?
Well, first of all, I just let it go, because I think that this fellow, what's his first name?
Van.
Okay.
Like a mini
Van guy. Has got a lot on his plate. He's sort
yes.
of... I don't know that I'd call him really flaky, but I don't think he understands. I don't think he gets it, and I don't think you need to teach him. But I don't
yeah.
think he gets it that when he's interacting with women, he needs to be consistent, and he needs to follow through. So I wouldn't worry about this at all. I just think the guy has some bad habits, and he doesn't really understand how to interact with a mature woman. He's acting more like someone that's in their 20s and
yeah.
Early 20s. And I just think that he's not very mature. So you need to make it okay and just move on. Don't waste your time.
Got you. Okay.
He's not a bad person. He's just a very immature person. How old is he?
He's actually 29. So yeah, he's in his 20s, but it's time to grow up.
Yeah, and he's not doing it. But it's not unusual. I find that dependent on a person's environment, usually the males don't typically start growing up, and not any offense to males listening, until they're in their 30s. Unless
yeah.
they've had experiences or have had women in their environment that have said, this just isn't mature behavior. And if you're going to be around women, you need to understand certain patterns are appreciated. But usually they don't start growing up until they're in their 30s. So you're going to have this kind of nonsensical behavior. And I want to say you're not his mother, unless you want to play that role, and I think it's a waste of time.
So then can I ask one more question? Because it's kind of reminded me, I haven't dated in a while, it's kind of reminded me, oh yes, I think I'd like to date someone. Do you see someone in the future coming in? Because I feel like I've done a lot of work on myself and I'm ready for a healthy relationship.
Well, I think what you need to do is just relax about the process. I think you just need to enjoy who you are as an individual. And
which I have been doing a lot of.
Well, and that's all you need to do. Just don't worry about it. And that what you're going to find, you will be in environments that you can socially, you need to ask yourself, what kind of a person do I really want to attract in my life? What kind of individual? What are the qualities I want in a person? See, there's a big difference between sexual attraction and the attraction that makes a committed relationship. Love and sex are very different. I mean, this is it's something that's often very, very hard for women to deal with. They want it always to be the love, the romance, the sex, everything's all rolled into one. Well, it doesn't work that way. Lots of times you're going to meet males that all they're interested in is the sex, a period. Well, that's fine. That's what their priorities are. That doesn't have to be your priority. You have to look at where you are and say, I want a particular type of person. And you can go date, you can have fun, your choice about sex, it's up to you. You're a mature woman. But I think it's really getting past the attitude that is, gee, the sexual attraction is what it is. No. The sexual attraction is part of the package. It's not the whole package. There's got to be mental compatibility, it's interest compatibility, it's the lifestyle compatibility. You know, if you meet up with somebody that decides that they want to be a rock and roller and kayaking on White River Rapids every other weekend, and you're saying, thanks, but that's really not what I want to do. I'd really like to be able to have, you know, go out every once in a while. That's fine once in a while, but gee, how about if we just sit down and have a good conversation? And they go, excuse me, I don't have time for that. That's not the type of person you're going to want to be with.
I don't know.
You really need to ask yourself what qualities of character, integrity, compassion, thoughtfulness, kindness, dedication, commitment, all, and this list can go on and on, but you really need to sit down and itemize out what you really want in an individual. And you know, I have said to so many people through the years, and I know this is going to sound a little corny, but I said approach relationships like you do when you go grocery shopping. When you go in to pick ingredients to go into your salad, you want the best ingredients possible, right?
Oh, yeah, and I've made that list. I'm very clear, actually.
Good. Then just stay clear. Stay clear. I've known people that have made lists, and when the first thing that comes along, they go, oh, boy, and they're hot to trot, and then they go, gee, I don't understand why it didn't work. Then they look back at their list, and they go, good Lord, there was nothing about this person that was on my list. And that's normal. That's not abnormal at all. So being mindfully present about what you want and enjoying the journey of exploration and interaction with others, that's important. And just make it okay that you may have someone coming into your picture, and I'm looking at you getting married and being very happily married. So I don't know that it's going to be happening next week. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Because you're still establishing who you are, and that's okay.
Got you. Okay.
All right, my dear. Thank you so much for being with me today, and enjoy your traveling.
Thank you.
Have a good one. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. Now, if you want to call me, 888-627-6008. That's our new telephone number, 888-627-6008. That's an international number, by the way. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural, and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Okay, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. Now, this Saturday, I am going to be involved in an all-day and evening event that's going to be, and it's here in the state of Washington. It's at the Best Western Plus River's Edge. It's in their meeting room, and it's located in the South Center area, and their address is 15901 West Valley Highway, and I'm going to be participating and the public event, which is going to be from 10 to 4:30 p.m. I'm going to be available for many consultations. I'll have books there, angels, and all this kind of stuff. So come and look for me there. But also in the evening, I'm going to be a VIP speaker along with Michael Shane, who you heard on the air with me yesterday. From 6 until 10 in the evening, we are going to be, along with another speaker, we're going to be giving demonstrations of psychic ability, as it's typically described. Mental skills are something you can develop. So I'm going to be speaking and demonstrating. Michael is going to be speaking and demonstrating, and then there are some of the people that I haven't been made aware of that are going to be there as well. So this is an opportunity for you to be able to interact with us and to see and hear and be aware of disciplines that you can cultivate. So it's a special event from 6 to 10. There is a fee of $35. If you'd like more information, go to their website, theascensionfoundation.com, ascensionfoundation.com. They also have a phone number of 206-356-6356. So I'm really looking forward to this because it's one of my favorite things to do. And like my class that I'm doing this evening, you know, if any of you anywhere are able to pull together a group and you'd like for me to travel where you are, I love doing classes. And the reason is that anytime I can show people and share with people how natural this is and how each and every one of us has this capability, it empowers you in your life and makes you aware that you're not a victim. It's so important. Life happens, but the intuitive skills are meant to enhance your life. It can't do the work for you, but it sure can give you some insights that otherwise you might not have. So if you have a group that you'd like to put together and you want to have me come out to wherever you are, I travel anywhere, and just give me a call at my office, 253-582-5604. And, of course, check out my website at DelphiInternational.com if you want to know about what's coming up. Shirley Clayton has a delightful poem. It's called The Music of a Summer's Day, a window's box that laced in sunlight, some leisure time to enjoy it all. It's great being a cat. That surprised you, I bet. There is the most adorable cat that I have right in front of me underneath Shirley's poem, and I just, these great big eyes, it has to be a very young little kitty just because of the way it's positioned, but there's just a joy about summer. Here in the Pacific Northwest, the sun has decided to grace us today, and we're all ecstatic about that because we've had a very, very wet, gray summer. And for those of you in the warmer temps, my compassion, oh, gee whiz, I'm so glad I'm not where you are because I just enjoy the coolness of the Pacific Northwest. But we have been ready for sunshine. By the way, if you want to give me a call, 888 888- 627-6008 is the telephone number to call into. Now, I need to let you know, tomorrow is going to be a Best of Donna show. So we are going to, I'm not going to be live with you on the air, but you're going to be hearing about the Garage Sale Millionaire. He was a guest on my show earlier in the month, so we're going to be repeating that. And then I'll be back with you live on Thursday. But it's a great show. If you missed it, you want to hear it, because he is just a hoot. And this guy has made millions with Garage Sale, so it's a great interview, and I know you'll enjoy it. If you're trying to keep cool, swimming is probably one of the ways that you might want to do it. But there is a woman that I became aware of. She was the first American woman to win a gold medal at the Olympics. And when was that? It was in 1920, a long time ago. But this was such a fascinating story because Ethelda is her name. Now, I had never heard a name like that. E-T-H-E-L-D-A, Ethelda. And she had a last name that was just absolutely amazing. It's called Bleeptrees. Ethelda Bleeptree. Very, very pretty young woman. Now, when she was 16 years old, and this is in 1918, Ethelda left her hometown of Waterford, New York, and she went to a private school. While she was there, she ended up contracting polio. Polio was a disease that was rampant at that time. And because of that, she joined a newly formed organization called the Women's Swimming Association of New York City. That's right. So they would swim in a little pool that was in the basement of a nearby hotel. And there was a woman by the name of Lois de Brinda Handley. She was a world-class swimmer and a water polo player. And Handley decided he would coach these young women. And he had analyzed their swimming and wanted to teach them how they could move the water much better. And so these girls said, sure. Well, he taught the girls a stroke. Have you ever heard of the six-beat double trudgeon crawl? Well, it was shortened substantially. It's called the American crawl. Now, this is what you have to do. You had to have three leg kicks to each powerful arm stroke. Now, that was very different from the way swimmers were trained in that time. He also taught them to breathe by turning their head slightly to the side instead of the rolling motion that was employed by the Australians. Now, the Australians in that time frame were the elite. They were absolutely the elite. Well, Ethelda was phenomenal. She took to that stroke just incredibly well, and her endurance, she was just amazing. Well, in 1919, August the 16th, she had her first race, and it was in Manhattan Beach, just beyond Coney Island, and Ethelda was the champion of that race. They couldn't believe how good a swimmer this young girl was at 16. She became the world champion in every event that she entered, broke all kinds of regular. Well, the officials in New Zealand and Australia wanted her to come and compete against their women. And so she did, and by golly, they said she was just amazing. They just couldn't believe it how good she was at swimming. Well, her attitude about it was, records are like bubbles. They don't last very long. Now, for 3 years, she never lost a race. At one point, she held 20 amateur athletic union championships, that's the AAU, yet she lived during a time when the president, if you can believe this, the president of the organization thought that sport, swimming, was a morally questionable experience for women. Can you believe that? They had somebody at the top of the organization that thought that women shouldn't participate? Okay, she ended up retiring in 1922, but do you know what? She had a record that has never been beaten. And she participated in the 1920 Olympics. She was so strong at the finish of a 300-meter race, a distance that was believed to favor female swimmers, that organizers eliminated the event from all future Olympics. Since then, women have been required to swim 400 meters, the same as the men. As a result, Ethelda has the Olympic 300-meter swimming records. Amazing stuff. If you're interested in women in sports, Athelda Blibtree's website, or information, I should say, you can go to almanac.com, www.almanac.com, and click on article links. And they had a big write-up on her in 2003. Incredible stuff. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a magnificent day. I'll be off tomorrow, but I'll be back on Thursday, bright and sassy, ready for you. Talk to you then. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.